It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson.
3, 2, 1, 0.
SpaceX successfully launched an unmanned rocket yesterday. It carried the company's Dragon capsule into orbit. The Dragon will bring supplies to the International Space Station, including groceries, lab mice, and an espresso maker. But the mission was about more than getting caffeine to astronauts. SpaceX was hoping to land the rocket on a barge to make a case that these very expensive parts could be reused. Carissa Christensen is a managing partner at the Torrey Group.
If you imagine driving your car and throwing it away every time you drive it, as opposed to driving your car and reusing it, that's the core model of the economics of reusing space vehicles.
The landing, it turns out, failed. SpaceX's Elon Musk tweeted that the rocket landed on the ship, but too hard for survival.
I think that it's not a step back at all. It is not the step forward they hoped for.
That was Carissa Christensen, managing partner at the Torrey Group. Now, no official word from Apple on this, but analysts estimate somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million people pre-ordered its new smartwatch. Folks who decide today that they want one are going to end up waiting a month or more. Molly Wood has been following all the Apple Watch hubbub closely. She's also Marketplace's newest hire, stolen directly from the New York Times, to be our host and tech correspondent. Hi.
Hi, Adrienne. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So what do you make of these sales numbers?
You know, they are about what I would expect. If indeed there were 3 million pre-sales or pre-orders, that is about 3 times the existing market for smartwatches and fitness devices. And that sounds about Apple. You know, you never think that Apple is going to, they're not going to
come out
with
a dud.
Right. Exactly. That is not what they do.
So is this a hit then?
I don't know that it's a hit yet, partly because I'm not sure that smartwatches are a hit yet, but I don't think that Apple necessarily expects the Apple Watch itself to be a runaway sales beast. I think 1 to 3 million initially, and maybe 5 million total. Mm-hmm. If they eke out 10 million sales, I think that's a pretty solid outing for what is really right now an unproven device category.
Is this a watch we all need to go buy now? Is this the thing?
You know, I actually don't think that Apple expects most consumers to buy the Apple Watch right now. It's very much Apple's tradition and the technology tradition to sort of go for early adopters first, because most people don't even know what they would do with a smartwatch.
Right.
Even Apple, you know, it didn't know what you necessarily wanted to do with the iPhone either until developers came in and created a bunch of apps that made it the indispensable thing that it is now. I think what they're hoping is that, much like sort of the very first iPad or mm-hmm. the very first iPhone, it's almost like a beta. The consumers who use it, those 1 to 3 to 5 to maybe 7 million people, they'll help direct the next version. And that one or the one after.
Will
those
be the
are
one
ones
to
you
buy.
Should hold out for.
Now, what about you? Are you going to be one of those 1 to 3 to 5 to 10 million early adopters?
As a consumer, I probably would not be. But as a tech reporter, I feel it is my sworn duty to order one now. But I'm getting the cheap one.
Marketplace's Molly Wood, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Unfriended is a horror movie that opens this Friday. It takes place entirely on computer screens. Think Skype, Facebook, Spotify. It is not the first film to try this, to show human drama playing out only on screens. Walter Woodman did this back in 2013. He co-directed a short film called Noah, using a similar technique. We called him up to talk more about how a computer screen can be a window into an entire world. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Did the technique free you up as a director in any way that was surprising to you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that by limiting what we could do to only things that happen on a computer, he has to see that his girlfriend breaks up with him. How are we going to do that? And you could do that through a Facebook post. And we had to pass information in ways that it just wasn't typical to see on screen.
Were there ever moments when, once you had committed to doing sort of shooting entirely things that happen on the screen, when you were just hitting your head and you're like, this is impossible?
I mean, the hardest part for us was we shot it all basically in one take. And me and Pat changed our Facebooks to Amy and Noah. And we kept breaking up and getting back together. So our real Facebooks, our friends are like, I don't know who you guys are. but you guys got to figure it out. So, like, our actual friends kind of would mess up takes, and we'd be like, no, don't comment on this. Like, we were just 13 minutes into a take, and you just messed it up.
Are there things you can learn about a character watching them sort of move around online on Facebook that you might not learn as easily if you were just shooting them normally?
Yeah, I think your computer is sort of a safe zone. And, like, the view that you get from Noah is a really voyeuristic view. And you get to sort of see what, not only what people type, but what they backspace.
So how do you think technology broadly is changing filmmaking?
What I really think technology is doing is it's making stuff cheaper. We made Noah for $300.
Wow.
That's, to me, the biggest asset to technology and film, is that there's less barriers to tell stories. Less barriers mean you're going to get people who are saying what they actually want, because they don't need to go through the typical gatekeepers that once prevented really creative people from making stuff.
Walter Woodman, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It was nice talking to you.
Before we go today, the growing backlash against the selfie stick. Apple has banned them at its upcoming developers conference. The Kentucky Derby is now a selfie stick-free zone. You can't party with them at Coachella or shoot pictures with them while you're on a Disney ride. Which means, all you selfie lovers out there, you're going to have to go back to stretching your arms a little. I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.